I believe that the Lord this morning gave me a kind of a vision of what he wanted. And the question that I have for you is, do you consider yourself worthy of him? Am I worthy of having him choose me? In my own eyes, can I be a servant of the Most High God? Have I finally agreed that I can be what he's called me to be? Am I able to take on what he thinks about me rather than what I think about myself? How many are getting a couple of ouches already? I don't want to go there, Lord. You see, because we have an attitude towards ourselves that has been created by the accuser. Yes, there are demon spirits operating to keep you out of the body of Christ, or to get you out if you're in. And I'm sure you've got a list of, but God, if I was healed over here and delivered over there and perfect in my own eyes, then I could be a servant of the Most High. Wouldn't that be wonderful? How many agree that that's the way we sometimes think? Is it God? How many say it's not God? Thank you. So how many know that now you got to repent and change your mind about yourself? Look at your neighbor. Say, it's about time you get God's ideas about you. Look at another neighbor. Say, you too. Get on with the truth. Get on with the truth. Get on with the truth. All right? Now, how am I going to come out of where I was to become who I really am? How am I going to do that? If I'm only thinking about me, that I'm going to be like my grandfather, my great-grandfather, my uncles, my aunts, and my mother, and all those relatives, and I'm going to have all their failures. How many have heard those songs before? How many devils do you think are working in that generation? Convincing you that you're going to face the same kind of death, the same kind of problem that so-and-so had in your background. Ouch again, right? Okay, so who's operating all the time trying to change your truth? See, your truth is God's purpose of what he chose you to do. Now, this morning, I want to confirm the boat. Okay? Well, you argued and God won. So thank you, Gail. At one point during the worship, because of what something that he showed me earlier, which I may share later, I don't know. I'm just going to let him have his way with my mouth, because he does a much better job with my mouth than I do. But I got to over here, and as I turned over here, I heard in my heart, Kemp, will you walk on the water with me and get out of the boat? And so I was focused on my feet. I wasn't here. I don't know where I was, but I knew there was water. And I purposed to lift up this foot, and I went forward. And then I heard, now keep walking and focused on me and keep worshiping. And I did. And I walked about up to the middle of that area. Until then, I was absolutely convinced that I was walking on water. And I heard, there are things that are going to be, that are going to cause you to trust in me. So change is coming. What kind of change? I have no idea. I'm not God. All I can do is be simple enough to answer when he says, come. I remind you of the only man out of the 12 that had the guts to get out of the boat. And in his own eyes, I make that clear to you. In Peter's own eyes of himself, he was a failure. And he hadn't seen the fullness of his deception. The day he got out of the boat, how many others followed him? Zero? I would like for a moment for you to think about this. Were there not 12 that he chose? One we know made a major fool out of himself. But the other 11, Peter was one of them, that left 10 that should have been able to say, hey, we want to go too. Think about it. But they didn't. They stayed where it was safe. Now, I believe you saw the bottom of the boat to implicate that the water was deep. That boat was a lot higher in that water, and there was a long way down. I can just imagine, because on the boat that we were in, you would have needed a ladder to step out of that boat, to get into the water, and not get wet. So I don't know how he got from the edge of the boat into the water, but I'm absolutely convinced that he had to step over the edge of the boat. Did the 11 try to stop him? Did the 10 try to stop him? Did they encourage him? Did he do it alone? Huh?
Not entirely.
Not entirely. He had a word from the Lord. If it's you, Lord. Now, that means that he wasn't positive that it was Jesus, number one. Because Jesus was certainly out in the midst of that water. And the waves were going up and down. Yes? He still had to make the decision. And he didn't get any help from his friends. Not one said, we'll help you. We're not going. We'll help you. So God is giving us a signal that this man of God, Peter, who would later deny him, so he wasn't perfect, he was what? In the process of healing and being saved. Salvation of your soul, not your spirit. Your spirit is saved. There's no question about that. But your soul is needing to be saved. And it is a process daily to get rid of the pus, to get rid of the old stuff, clean it up. Go back to Jesus. Ask him to wash you with his blood. Cleanse you of all of those old thinking patterns that are deceptive, hurtful. And would keep you in the boat. I believe that as Peter was going down, whatever kind of a rope ladder or something, that he had to go down into the water, that there was a war going on inside of him. What if it isn't Jesus? Even if I heard him say, come, can I really do it? How many of you have had a word from the Lord and you held on for a while and then dropped it? Come on, put your hand up, because I've had a word from the Lord many times and I lost it. Number one, I wasn't faithful. I didn't write it down. That was number one. I mean, there's no excuse for Kim not to have a paper and pencil and write it down. I got smart. I even have a paper and pencil in my car, because sometimes the word comes in the driving process. And if I don't write it down, the enemy comes and he twists it, and I lose part of it. Or I'm not consistent as I'm going down into the water to really stay with the word he gave me. And the way he gave it is important. Come. So he came. He got into the water, but he didn't sink. All he did was keep his eyes on the Lord. And he kept saying to himself, I can do this. But at some point, he focused on the problem. How many know what he did when he focused on the problem? He lost the word. The word became secondary. The problem was bigger. The waves might have got higher. Whatever it was, he lost it. Did Jesus say to him, hey, get thee behind me, Satan? He had done that word before. So he had already told Peter that Satan was capable of using his mouth in another incident. So Peter wasn't perfect, was he? Peter was in process. He was learning how to walk every day in obedience to the word that he had received, and putting one foot in front of the other, not knowing if that next foot would soften or harden the water. It would depend on his reaction, whether the water stayed firm or that it became liquid and he began to sink. Our lives implicate which way we walk sometimes. Our emotions give us a clue who we're listening to. How many know on a bad day you're listening to a lot of old stuff and the emotions go with it? And on a good day, what you and I would call a good day, we're thinking about the Lord, we're thinking and focused on Him, and we're having a great day. Kind of slip into a new space Thursday. Friday I got a telephone call from my sister. She says to me, Kim, have you watching television? And I said, no. Well, you better put ABC on. Dr. Bob's on me. Good Morning America. How many have seen Dr. Bob on Good Morning America? Bob, Peggy, and myself. And I made sure one other person. Remember Dr. Bob that you met in Albany? Him and his wife were on national television advertising the goodness of our God in the Christmas season. And I understand that People's Magazine also did an article about him. Now you say, well, what's so special about Dr. Bob? Well, we found out a little more about him because when he was in his 30s, he had a word from the Lord to become a doctor, and he had 4 kids already. And a wife. By the way, she's a nice French girl. I've met her and spent quality time with her. She speaks just as good French as you and me, Charles. Her parents are from Canada. She was brought up in the Albany area. And Leanne is a very special girl in my heart. Now, she went to work so that he could go to school with 4 kids. Then later on, Pastor Jay had a word from the Lord that he carried in his heart for 10 years to buy a broken down building that used to be a nursing home and to turn it into a clinic and make it place where all of the poor would receive medical help and spiritual help whenever they needed it, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, in a poor section of Albany, New York. They have a prayer furnace in there. What's a furnace? It's a place where the fire is going 110 degrees. Plenty hot. I spent 3 days there, searching for the heart of the Lord. Was I walking on water when I was there? Yes, I was. Did we walk around the neighborhood with Dr. Bob and his wife and a whole group of guys just praying and singing songs as we were asking God to transform the neighborhood? And then on television, the hostess said, "Oh, we have a surprise for you, Dr. Bob." And the curtain opened up, and a young man and his wife and a beautiful baby of 2 weeks old, if I remember correctly, came out in the audience and said, "Dr. Bob, you haven't seen the gift of God. This is our baby girl," I think. It was a baby girl, whatever. Bottom line, the young man says, "I want to thank you because we haven't seen you for over a year. But when I came to the clinic and I had a tumor on my shoulder, you didn't say no. And you did the work, and there was no charge." You see, Dr. Bob was given that space when Pastor Jay had a vision and the word of the Lord came to buy that building that was broken down and to refurbish it and to make it into a place that was the best for the best. They took the third floor and they made it into an awesome clinic. And you can go there and be treated and not questioned. And before you get surgery, you can go into a pre-surgical area to be prayed for hours if you so desire. If you want counsel for Holy Ghost understanding of what you're going through, you can have it done, no charge. Somebody's there 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And when I was there last spring, Pastor Jay gave the building free and clear to Dr. Bob. It's paid for. So the ministry goes forward. Did they walk on water? Did they do it all right? No. They made mistakes. You see, when you're walking on water and you take your eyes off of Jesus momentarily, you may sink a little. But the Lord will grab you and pick you up and lift you back up. And he'll say, "Come on, put one more foot in front of the other." And I believe that today, America is a better place because there's a lot of people believing God for the next level of his revelation of what they want and what he wants out of the body of Christ. And it ain't going to be done alone. It's not going to be done by yourself. It's going to be done when there's a group coordinated in his hands, in his feet, in his legs, and even be a voice for him. Can you be a voice? Can you be one that puts a smile on some young man's face because he's having trouble at home and nobody likes him, or he maybe got hurt, and you would just go over and say, "Hey, buddy, you know what? It ain't so bad. God's in charge. His angels will help you." Uh-huh. Uh-huh. I have another friend that I met several times. His name is Mike Bickle. He's the pastor of the International House of Prayer for All Nations. It's the International House of Prayer in Kansas City, Missouri. His team was on TV this week too. And all the kids were worshiping the Lord. And they were giving out the miracles that had happened in their church. And one 11 or 12 year old gave his testimony. When he went to church, he was allergic to all kinds of foods, so his limitation was just a handful of items that he could eat. And after 6 weeks of being prayed for, day in and day out, every time he went to church, by the other kids, not by the adults, by the other boys and girls, he says, I am now able to eat every item that was the worst. There's a few that still bug me a little, but I'm not done yet, and neither is God. That's happening in Kansas City. The kids are operating in the realm of the Spirit, worshiping God in spirit and in truth. They're not in a box behind the church being changed by good ideas. They're worshiping the Most High and learning how to lay hands, and they're learning how to anoint with oil. Why? Because it's God's choice to have them walk out of the boat. What are you learning about who you are when you're listening to the old patterns of thoughts that rule your life about yourself? How hopeless you are, how rejected and pain-filled that you are. Versus if you've got 1 foot going forward and you're looking to the Lord to complete His mission in you, He will complete what He's promised to you. You say, well, I haven't got a word from Him yet. Well, it's about time you get busy. You can ask Him the same question Peter did. If it's you, Lord, bid me to come. Jesus didn't reject Peter when he asked him, is it really you, Lord? Did Jesus respond? What was the word that Jesus gave? I would have liked a 6-page letter. With all the instructions in detail. Right, Gail? That's what I would have liked. But he got one word. Come. 4 letters. C-O-M-E. And he got out of the boat when the others stayed in. What is your commission from the Lord today? Let's look at His word in the book of Acts. Acts chapter 2, and guess who's talking? Acts chapter 2, guess who's talking? Who's talking? In Acts chapter 2, who's giving the first sermon? Peter! He's the one that got out of the boat. He's the one that denied the Lord. He's the one that said, I never knew Him. I don't even belong to Galilee. My accent isn't real. This is, I'm putting this on just to make you guys think I'm from there. I don't know Him. And he looked at him straight in the face. I don't know you. But Jesus showed up, didn't He? Later on. And said, Peter, do you love Me? And Peter probably put his head down and, will you please get away from me? You knew what was in me all along. You prophesied I was going to reject you. Yeah. It's the same Peter that in the book of Acts, after being filled with the Holy Spirit, speaks. Verse 15, for these men are not drunk as you imagine. For it is only the third hour, about 9 o'clock in the day. But instead, this is the beginning of what was spoken through the prophets. The Amplified said, the beginning of. And it shall come to pass in the last days, God declares, that I will pour out My Spirit upon all mankind. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your telling forth the divine counsel, and your young men shall see visions, that is, divinely granted appearances, and your old men shall dream dreams, divinely suggested dreams. Yes, and on my men servants also, and my maid servants in those days, I will pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy, telling forth the divine counsel and predicting the future events pertaining especially to God's kingdom. And I will show wonders in the sky above and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and smoke and vapor, etc., etc., etc. Verse 21, and it shall be that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord will be what? Salvation. And I could keep on going. But you see, he kept on going, and he kept on declaring what God had said. But go to verse 39. For the promises of the God, the promises of the Holy Spirit, is to and for you, your children, and to and for all that are far away, even to as many as the Lord our God invites and bids to come to himself. I want you to really look at that verse, because it's important about those that you and I have held in our hearts and wondered, how long is it going to take before they get to know Jesus? How many got weary and really had a problem about, my kids, Lord, where are they? I had a miracle yesterday. Saturday morning, my sister-in-law's daughter, and I called Jeanette my cousin because we were so close in age, and said to me, well, what we had planned to do in January, we're going to do today. Excuse me, that was Friday morning, not Saturday morning. We're going to do tomorrow. And are you busy tomorrow morning? And I said, no, not that I know of. Well, we're going to have a burial service at St. Anne's Cemetery in Three Rivers. And can you be there for 11:30? And would you officiate at the service? And I said, well, if this is your heart's desire, and your brothers are in agreement, yes. The rest is history. But you see, my sons were there. My grandson was there. My relatives. And I allowed as best I could to let this mouth be used by the Lord. And let the glory go to him. For the promise of the Holy Spirit is to and for you and your children. My children heard the gospel yesterday, preached in a way, I pray, that it would touch their hearts and change their hearts. The one that I looked to see changed had a hard time to look at me. Why? And I kind of peeked up. His head was down. Why? No different than Peter. It's not too hard for God to pick up Peter. Not too hard for God to pick up any child of mine. Whether they're grand or little. Doesn't matter. The word is for you too. For the promise is to and for you and your children. And to all who are far away, that means us, isn't it? To as many as the Lord our God invites and bids to come to himself. Who is constructing the house of prayer? Better be the Lord, because if it's me, forget it. If it's not the Lord, it won't hold, it won't stay together. But you confirmed this word this morning, didn't you? Unless the Lord builds a house, you have built it in vain. It's useless. Unless the Lord's in charge of your family, you're working for nothing. And Peter, verse 40, solemnly and earnestly witnessed, testified and admonished, exhorted with much more continuous speaking and warned, reproved, advised, encouraged, then saying, be saved from this crooked, perverse, wicked, unjust generation. Therefore, those who accept and welcome his image, his message, were baptized, and they were added that day about 3,000. That's the same guy who was sinking in the water, who had rejected the Lord Jesus Christ, who had told him he never knew him. Yeah, it was the same man, wasn't it? But something happened inside. He was no longer listening to the devil, telling him he's not good enough. He was listening to the word, come. And then the next word, do you love me, Peter? Feed my lambs. Take care of the sheep. Educate them. Get them to know who the accuser is. If Peter had never fallen, he wouldn't have had the compassion to take care of the tent. If Peter had never fallen, he wouldn't have had the love affair with Jesus Christ to take the ones that were broken and bring them back. If Peter had never denied the Lord, he wouldn't have had compassion for the other Jews in the temple that day. If Peter had never fallen and smashed his face and heard the words of denial come out of his mouth, he would not have been an effective apostle. Verse 42. And they steadfastly preserved, devoting themselves constantly to the instructions and the fellowship of the apostles, for the breaking of bread, including the Lord's Supper and prayer, and a sense of awe came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were performed through the apostles, the special messengers, and all who believed. That is, who adhered to and trusted in and relied on Jesus. We're united. Yoo-hoo! United. And together they had everything in common. And they sold their possessions, both their land property and their movable goods, and distributed the price among all according as they had any need. And day after day, they regularly assembled in the temple with united purpose. United purpose. And in their homes, they broke bread, including the Lord's Supper. They partook of their food and gladness and simplicity and generous hearts, constantly praising God and being in favor. Say, being in favor. What is favor? It's the unmerited grace that God provides that you didn't work for. Favor and goodwill with all people, and the Lord kept adding to their number daily those who were being saved from spiritual death and natural death. Being saved, being transitioned. Yesterday we put the ashes of a lady that was part of our hearts for many years. And yes, there was some crying and there was some recollecting of the hardships of her life, as well as the highlights. And some of those highlights, I'll never forget them as long as I live. Because she was an instrument. She was an instrument of love and of grace and mercy to her family. And her brother's here today, and he certainly can acknowledge that she went through some major hurts. Major, major hurts. She lost two of her sons and a grandson before she went home to be with Jesus. She lost many other parts of her heart. She lost her husband when she was only 46. And that was tough. So why does God allow us hardships and difficulties of many kinds? So that God can perfect us and use us for His glory. And in the days ahead, as we become joined together for His purpose, He will change my heart and change our hearts. Elaine, last week you asked for permission to speak about the need of the prayers of the saints to continue because of the hardship that you've been in. Today, you heard the word that you're tied into that body. This is God's doing, and it's marvelous in our sight. Would you stand, please? Put your Bibles down. Yes? Verse 14.
It says, then Peter stood up with the 11.
Yes.
They were with him this time.
Yes. They didn't stay in the boat this time, huh? Thank you. How many like that addition? The 11 changed, didn't they? Same Holy Ghost. Are you being changed? That's God's prayer, and my prayer as well. Join the neighbor. You need to connect some hands. Say, Lord Jesus, today.
Lord Jesus, today.
We are connected
to many others all over the earth
that will hear this message,
that they're not alone.
We're asking for grace and for mercy
and
a change of mind
about ourselves
and those who are listening, that they may be changed and dramatically overwhelmed
about the words of Jesus Christ.
Get out of your boat
and come.
Come now.
Serve me
with all the talents you have.
Not for your own purpose,
but for the purpose of the Most High God.
In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
And amen.
Give him all the glory.
Give him all the glory.
Give him all the glory.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus.